Okay, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. This is part 6 in a series on Jesus' encounters with lost people and his number of times that he was on earth. He had individual encounters. He had encounters with individuals as well as groups. And there's a number of individuals there. So we're looking at Luke 19 this evening. And reading from verse 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree and to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, God's love for the lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the drawing power of our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that his whole purpose and mission in life was to seek and to save. Lord, he is still seeking. Thank God that you are. Lord, until the trumpet shall blow, until we go to home to be with the Lord, there is time for people to be saved. And we will pray, Lord, that people would look to thee and see the seeking Saviour seeking them and respond according to the scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10 there, a very well-known verse, is Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's the whole purpose of our Lord coming, wasn't it? To seek and to save. To seek and to save lost sinners. All of those over 2,000 years ago. And he seeks sinners because there's none who seek after God, is there? Romans 3:11, we know that there's none that seek after him. Beginning with Adam and Eve, after they'd sinned, God called them in the garden in Genesis 3:8 and 9, where are you? You see. And so people have been dodging God for a long time. God graciously calls all lost people. He calls all people to come to him. We know in Ezekiel 34:11-16, it says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that was sick. See, Jesus came into the world. He didn't come into the world to be a good teacher. He didn't come into the world to be a moral leader. He didn't come into the world to arouse people's consciences. He didn't come into the world to be an example of a noble religious life. Jesus came into the world to rescue condemned sinners. And that's a condition that all humanity is in outside of Christ. Condemned already. For they have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. God is a saving God, isn't he? Thank God for that. I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Saviour. Isaiah 43:11. We have a great saving God. Isaiah 45 is verses out of the Old Testament, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3:5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:4 and 10b, "Who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe." He's the Saviour of those who believe. God's salvation, God's sacrifice on the cross, didn't mean that everyone was automatically saved. It meant it opened the way, the pathway for any to come under God could be saved. John chapter 4, verse 42c says, "And know that this is indeed the Christ. He's the Saviour of the world. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." 2 Corinthians 5:19. He was a seeking God, isn't he? "But it is now manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 1:10. He's a saving God. And in Luke's Gospel, going back a few chapters, in chapter 15, God likens himself to a shepherd seeking the sheep, and a woman seeking a lost coin, and a father seeking a lost son. And God is seeking today any people that would God is seeking today anyone who will turn to him and repent of sin and believe in that glorious gospel. See, the story of Zacchaeus is one of the clearest biblical illustrations of God seeking an individual. He seeks people. He seeks after them. And this story here has three parts. There's this sinner, Zacchaeus, in verses 1 to 4. And then there's the Saviour in verses 5 to 7. And then there's the saint in verses 8 to 10. The sinner. Six times Luke refers to tax collectors. Only twice are they named, Levi and Zacchaeus. See, they were although they were the most hated people of those times, despised outcasts in Israel. But you know, it wasn't a crime to be one. If you work for the taxation department, you're not a criminal. Some people might feel that if you rip people off, but you're not. Because taxation is a divine institution of God. Israel in the Old Testament paid taxes. And Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." So it's not wrong, is it, to work as a tax collector? It's just wrong to abuse the office of a tax collector. And the Romans had a bad reputation of doing that, creating illegitimate taxes, and extortion and dishonesty were common. And that kind of thing happened. And so the taxes were being collected by physical violence, by intimidation and cruelty. And this is why the publicans of Jesus' day were so... they were so hated, because they abused their office, you see. They got rich at the expense of many poor people. So they were barred from the synagogues and pronounced unclean. And all lost people are like this man Zacchaeus. See, Zacchaeus was a corrupt tax collector, someone who was outside of the grace of God, sent out of the synagogue. Zacchaeus, he was living in the city of Jericho in the world. And, you know, there's some applications there to our lives. Those people who are lost, and all people who are lost outside of Christ, because they're in the world. And according to the evil system of corruption, they're taken in by that. And so there's a sense in which there's an application there. And Zacchaeus was a sinner, but not a low-level sinner. He was a chief among sinners. He was a chief among the publicans and sinners. But thank God our Saviour is a great Saviour, isn't he? And he's a friend of publicans and sinners. I just want you to notice tonight there's two obstacles that Zacchaeus faced in seeing Jesus. The first obstacle that he faced was the crowd. You notice there in verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or the crowd, because he was little of stature." He couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. And those people there, that crowd, are symbolic of the world, aren't they? And the world has never seen and has never changed. It's the same. It always stands in the way of someone coming to the Lord. Not going to open the path and say, yeah, you'll believe in God, go ahead. They're going to stand in the way of a person seeing the Saviour. And the crowd does that today. The world stands in the way of anyone wanting to come to Christ. But there was another obstacle, and that was his stature. He was a little man, not very tall. And he wasn't tall enough to see above the crowd. And you know, all the self-determination in the world couldn't get him to see the Lord, because his stature was blocking the way. And you know, no one measures up to God's standards, do we? We're all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we're all fail, and we're all out of the reach of a saving God, unless He seeks us, unless our Saviour does that. We need to respond to Him, to His call. So what does Zacchaeus do? Well, he can't see the Lord because he's short, and so he runs into a sycamore tree. Well, what's a sycamore tree? It's a mulberry tree. And it's not the kind of tree that's hard to climb into, because the branches are quite low. And so it's the kind of tree that a child could reach the low branches of and climb into. And he was curious and inquisitive, just like a child. Just turn over to back to Luke 18 and verse 17. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Zacchaeus was a sinner. But you know, a person needs to have a faith of a child to come into the kingdom of God. So he was a sinner. But you also know from verses 5 through to 7 about the Saviour here. And it says, "And when Jesus," in Luke 19, "and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." First of all, notice that there was a place there, and when Jesus came to the place, there is a time that a person comes to know the Lord, and there is a place that they come to, a place of surrendering and yielding to the Lord. And so he looked up, the Lord did, because he was looking for Zacchaeus, and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus," and he called his name. He didn't know him. A stranger knew his name. And it was a sign of a great affection. And God calls to people to salvation. The whole world collectively, but people individually. He calls to any person who desires to be saved. He knows us all by name. His call is personal. Salvation is personal. He knew Zacchaeus' name, and salvation is a personal appeal to mankind. And then notice something else. The Lord said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Salvation requires urgency. God's call is urgent. Just look up a few verses here. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Keep your finger in that spot. "For the harvest is past, The summer is ended and we are not saved. And look over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Back over to the New Testament now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. The urgency of being saved. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's an urgent matter. An urgent matter to come to know the Lord as our Saviour. We just go back in the Old Testament to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And just look over in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And in Proverbs 29 and verse 1 it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and not and that without remedy. And just turn over now into the New Testament in Matthew 24. There's a few verses here to press home this point. Matthew 24 and verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And just look up James chapter 4. Verse 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow will we go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Is even a vapour that appeareth for a little while and then vanish away. We need to heart not harden our hearts at the call of God. And then in Luke chapter 13, Luke 13, strive not, in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And then in John chapter 12, and then said, verse 35, and then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. It's an urgent matter, isn't it, to come to know the Lord as our Saviour. It's good to look up those verses, to realise that we don't have a lot of time left. Tomorrow, we have no guarantee over. See, salvation is an urgent matter. Salvation is a personal matter. And salvation is a humbling matter, isn't it? Remember that story of Zacchaeus there. It says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. You notice where he had to come down from the tree? He had to come down from your lofty tree of pride, Zacchaeus. You're a very, very proud man. You're the chief of all the tax collectors in the city. Come down off your lofty tree. And God's calling is humbling. It's humbling to admit that I've got a problem. It's humbling to admit that I'm wrong. It's humbling to admit that not only that, but in front of all the people, all the crowd, all the city of Jericho, here's this man saying, I'm going to come and spend time with this person, Jesus. And to let people know that. Come out of you. Come down, the Lord said. He's saying to the people, harden not your heart. Believe on me. Jesus is God. And there is no other God. And so salvation, yeah, it's a personal matter. Salvation is an urgent matter. Salvation is a humbling matter. It's a humbling experience to acknowledge our condition. Doesn't matter how long we've been like it. God said we need to acknowledge that you are Lord. You are God. And then it says, for today I must abide at thy house. Salvation is a personal matter. Salvation is an urgent matter. Salvation is a humbling matter, and salvation is a satisfying matter. Salvation is a satisfying matter. Lord, I'm not only just going to believe on you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you'll come into the heart of an individual and dwell in all the compartments of my life. Take control, God. I want to call you Lord. God's call is an abiding call. It's to come to me. Let me into the home of your heart. I want to have full access. I want to be Lord. So Zacchaeus, he made haste and he humbled himself and he came down. And we read there, he received Christ joyfully. And Christ was now a welcome guest. And it is a joy to know Christ as your Saviour. And it puts a smile on your face and a freshness in your life to know that you're a child of God. And so Zacchaeus the sinner met Jesus the Saviour. And you put the two together and you get a transformed life. You get a life that's changed. And when he saw it, they all murmured. The individual saying, oh no, don't go that way. The crowd saying, don't follow the Lord. Standing in the way. The crowd was in the way. Sin gets in the way. Self gets in the way. Come to me. And so Zacchaeus came down, took Jesus to his house and told him, stands up and says, behold, Lord, you notice that? He calls him Lord. Lord God, what a change. Zacchaeus was a transformed man. Notice here, he invited the Messiah into his home. He was unashamed to do that. And as proof of it, he says, "Oh, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything by false accusation, which I have for years, then I restore them fourfold." That's repentance. It's a change. Salvation changes a person. They're never the same again. When I came to the Lord at 23 and a half years of age, I was living in the world, and the silly teachers there were influencing me the other way, and I said, "No, I'm not going to go that way." And I came back after the Christmas holidays one year after the Christmas holidays, and I came back to work, and I said, I'm going to follow the Lord. And one of the teachers wrote a caricature. It was like a comic strip, and he put it on my desk, and they used to call me Stumpy for some reason, but that was my nickname. And it had a picture of this person stepping out of a closet, right? And it was, and the subtitle went, "The Stump Emergeth Out of the Closet, No Longer a Closet Christian." And so they began to see the change. They began to see that my life wasn't the same as it was before. See, Zacchaeus was a Jew by birth. But you know, salvation didn't come to him because he was a Jew by birth. Salvation didn't come to Zacchaeus because he paid his money back. Salvation came to Zacchaeus because he had true faith in the living God, didn't he? He believed on Christ. The same faith that Abraham had. Verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." He had the same faith, you see. And in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was..." Oh, what a great verse that is. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It must have been a great assurance to him. "Zacchaeus, now you've trusted me, you are safe and saved for eternity. You can never lose your salvation. Once a person comes to Christ, they're saved. They're gloriously... He has you in his hand. You are eternally secure." But you know, it was a great comfort to Zacchaeus to know that. And it's a great comfort to know that we can't lose our salvation. But it was also an answer to the criticism of the Pharisees. Verse 7, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. What do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners, the Lord?" That was a great answer to them, wasn't it? Because what had Jesus been saying all the way through the Gospels? Jesus came to earth not to call the righteous, didn't he? But sinners to repentance. It's a faithful saying we read, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you know, Zacchaeus there is like so many people who don't know the Lord today. When we talk to people in the street, we talk to our neighbours, we talk to our family members, you know, who are lost. What's happened? Is they're ruined by sin. See, God in mercy sent Christ. He's the Son of Man. He's the human element, the humanity of Christ, the Son of Man. And he came to rescue and to deliver our people from a bondage of sin and bondage of a devastated life. That's what sin does. The Son of Man has come to seek. He's seeking and he's saving, rescuing a person who is outside of Christ, and people who are lost need to be rescued from the devastation that sin does to an individual person's life. We don't have to look very far to see that in the world today, the devastation that sin brings. And it is devastating. This world is in a terrible state because people refuse to believe in the only begotten Son of God. The words of Philip P. Bliss really say a lot here. That hymn, "Hallelujah, what a Saviour." He's called the Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. We have a great Saviour, don't we? Hallelujah for God. Hallelujah for his work, for the Man of Sorrows who came to rescue people in that state. And oh, what a change that occurred in that man's life. And it can occur in anyone's life who comes to Christ tonight. Who comes to Christ and says, "I'm lost. I don't know. I just don't have any assurance of my salvation. But I'd like to know that I can be sure that I'm saved." And God can take you. A person could show you in his word how you can be eternally secure and know him as your personal saviour. When Dorothy and I were away on holidays recently, we went and visited a church, and there was a young man there, and he was working in the local area as a cook, as a chef. And he said he was going to this church at the time, and a new church started up, and he got talking to one of the men from the new church, and he was saying that up until he spoke to this gentleman and showed him from the scriptures, he thought he could lose his salvation, because the church he was going to was teaching that. But you can't lose your salvation, because you're the one who didn't purchase it. Christ did, didn't he? We have a great God, and he gives us that glorious salvation if we only turn and trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have a God who is seeking us. And Father, thank the Lord for the many people who have come to know him in our church fellowship. And Father, thank you for the day that we can remember that we knew Christ as Saviour. And we know that we have gone from death to life. And Father, we give you the thanks tonight for the saving work of Christ and how merciful you are. We ask that you would guide and undertake in the service this evening to draw people to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.